Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Hey, what do you know about the circular economy? Do you know anything?
Well, knowing about the guest, I did read up on it last night, and it is genuinely fascinating, and I like these reusing, upcycling initiatives that she was talking about. Wonderful stuff.
For those of you who are not familiar with what that term means, it's an approach to economic development designed to benefit businesses, society. So, for example, if you're a manufacturer, you design products that can be reusable or upcycled, as they say, or repaired easily.
Brilliant.
Like an electrical device, for example, you can repair it. Products and raw materials are reused in such a way that it's good for the environment, recycling plastic, etc.
And might I add, we've never needed that more. We need to work towards greater self-sufficiency. COVID is proving that.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Absolutely. Our guest this morning, Anna Moore, the Sustainability Consulting and Partnerships Manager at Eco Business, Asia Pacific's leading voice on sustainable development. Anna, good morning. Welcome to Money FM Weekend Mornings.
Good morning, Glenn. Hi, everyone. Thanks for the introduction.
It's great to have you with us. And Anna, give us the Singapore context on circular economy. Is it being done here now? Is it being practiced here now? How successful are we? What else can we do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Glenn. It is being done in Singapore. And, you know, Singapore is really trying to lead the way in terms of sustainable development, specifically in the Asia Pacific region. And part of that is because Singapore is very vulnerable to climate change, of course. It's a small island and rising sea levels would really be disastrous for us all. And, you know, since essentially what we have is sustainable development goals, I'm sure your listeners and you have all heard about these, and these are ways of us moving towards the end of this decade with sustainability in mind. And you mentioned, you know, the idea of sort of self-sufficiency, and Singapore's really pushing towards reliance, self-reliance. At the moment, we import a lot because, of course, we don't have the land mass. But the adoption of the circular economy allows Singapore to be more resilient. And, you know, the Sustainable Development Goals came in around 2015. And since then, Asian nations have proved that they are making the most progress in terms of sustainable development, circular economy, but also the way that the COVID-19 outbreak's been handled. And these things are, of course, linked. So, yeah, Singapore is adopting a circular economy. It certainly wants to do more. We've seen from the Green Plan 2030 that the aim is, again, to create a more resilient society for us all to live in. So, yeah, it's being adapted and adopted, but change is coming quick and fast, I hope.
Well, this is wonderful to hear, Anna. I mean, you're singing from my favourite hymn sheet with this one. I mean, I am always talking to listeners about we would need, if the planet consumed in the way that Singapore consumed, we would need four planets to feed ourselves. So that gives you an idea of the consumption, because we do not produce anything, as you mentioned. The food plan you mentioned is a wonderful initiative. I think it's 30%. If I'm misquoting, 30% by 2030 of our own...
30 by 30.
Yeah, 30 by 30, that's right. So maybe for the benefit of our listeners, you could give us like a real-world example of whether it's a food product or something else, which is the circular economy in action, if you like, in Singapore.
Yeah, so I think that if we're just to put this into context in terms of emissions of the average Singaporean, we are emitting around 8 tons of carbon per year per capita, which is a huge amount. And it means that we are currently not really in alignment with the Paris Agreement and the way that that works. So in terms of products that have a circular economy in mind, what this means is that the material efficiency of a product is reducing waste. It is from the part of the design model. It already has this idea of circularity in mind. And your listeners and yourselves, you may have heard of something called cradle-to-cradle design. This is part of the circular economy. And it means that we use technology at the initial phases of a product to understand how that product can be nutrients at the end of its life for the planet rather than toxic and harmful chemicals.
pardon me, Anna, we're talking with Anna Moore, excuse me, goodness, talking with Anna Moore, Sustainability Consulting and Partnerships Manager at Echo Business. Anna, when we look at individuals, for example, those that might be listening to the show right now, we probably have two categories. One might be a business owner, somebody who might be even in manufacturing, and the second would obviously, we're all consumers. So from the perspective of those two groups of people, how can we either A, get into and start a relationship where we can have a circular economy in our own businesses if we're manufacturing, or B, if we're consumers, how can we be sure that the products that we're buying or using are produced within that circular economy?
If you're a small business owner or a large business owner, one of the things that you need to be thinking about, of course, is your supply chain. So that's from the point of sourcing your materials to the point where your materials end up in your shop or online for you to sell. And if you wanted to adopt a circular economy model into your business practices, then you would need to understand what's going on in your supply chains. And sometimes I liken this to a small rock at the bottom of the garden. You might turn it over and there's creepy crawlies underneath, and it's not particularly nice because our supply chains now, with the linear model of the current economy, are very messy things. They are, you know, something is sourced and extracted in one place, potentially through exploitation, and then it's manufactured and designed into something that we then use at a later date. So certainly for small business owners and large business owners and industry leaders, understanding supply chains is crucial to this. And that's whether it's garments, electronics, it could be food. How do we understand what's going on in supply chains? And there are technologies that allow that to happen, things like blockchain technology, which can track the particular product from birth to sale.
Right.
And then if you're a consumer, as we all are, let's take the humble smartphone, which all of us now have, this beautiful piece of equipment that we have in our pockets every day and we love dearly, is full of really precious minerals and metals like gold and cobalt. And these are sourced and mined, and it's a very intensive process to get something out of the ground and then into an iPhone or a smartphone of any label or brand. And so if we're a consumer and let's say I'm updating my phone, I can either put my smartphone into a drawer, as many of us do, or I can send it to one of the many Singapore e-waste, electronic waste recycling centers where those precious minerals are then reused. So then that reduces the need to mine and extract again, because we've got those minerals already in play as part of the circular economy.
That's fascinating. One of the key aspects of the circular economy in the context of Singapore is, of course, food production. You mentioned it before. That is the key one. The Singapore government is very, very focused on that, and rightly so. I think COVID-19 and all the toilet roll hoarding that is happening as we speak shows you people's paranoia. We don't produce enough food here. So one of the examples that Glenn and I are familiar with, we've spoken to environmentalists about this, we've spoken to chefs about this. Let's take something that many Singaporeans listening love: beef, steak. I happen to know that 1 kg of beef produces enough carbon to take a family of four to KL and back again in a car, or you can fly to KL and produce less carbon emissions than eating 1 kg of beef. Now, there's a good example of, you know, cradle to cradle, if you like, or, you know, from the cow to the plate. What could we do in that respect to improve or reduce our carbon emissions?
The answer is not one that everybody will enjoy.
I suspect I know it, but I'll let you say it.
I myself like a good steak from time to time. As Bill Gates recently said, the developed world is going to have to embrace lab-grown meats. And to lots of people, that seems like a very kind of scary concept. You know, that it's very unnatural. But the counter argument to that, of course, is that it's also very unnatural the way that we produce meat currently and the way that our cows are destroying the earth that they live on, producing so much methane. And you know, this is hugely problematic. So embracing lab-grown meats, there's a lot out there and a lot to come where our amazing innovators are finding ways to actually replicate the cellular benefits of mammal meat, mammal milk, but without those serious impacts on the environment. And so that's the way of the next decade and beyond, is the developed world certainly embracing lab-grown meats. We have the technology, and that's how that's going to work. Yeah.
We're speaking with Anna Moore of Echo Business. And Anna, a final question from me, and that would be, is there a role that government can or should play in developing and sustaining a circular economy? And if so, is it being done right now? And what would be an example of it?
There is a role of government. And I think a lot of governments now are embracing sustainable development. They've realized that it's not a matter of a fashion statement. It's a matter of survival. It's about resilience as human beings and the resilience of nations. And unfortunately, all the borders in the world are not going to stop the negative impacts of climate change. The interesting thing with the Singaporean government, just to bring it back to where we're all based, is that the philanthropic arm of the Singaporean Temasek Holdings, the Temasek Foundation, with Eco Business, the company that I work for, runs a livability challenge every year. And this year we are asking innovators to look at the circular economy specifically. And the prize is $1 million Singaporean. Submissions have now closed. We're in the stage of shortlisting. And we have seen from the winners of last year that these ideas, these innovations, have the possibility to really change the models that we're working with now to more positive models in the future. So governments have a huge role to play, and the Singaporean government is really leading on that.
That's wonderful. And a final question from me, Anna. For our listeners right now, they are essentially consumers. And I'm sure they're listening, they've got kids in the car, they're looking at their kids, they don't want to hand over a piece of charcoal for a planet to their kids. So most people listening, by and large, want to do the right thing and would support the circular economy. So what tips day to day could you give the average consumer in terms of what they buy, what they eat, what they wear? What sort of day to day tips could you give
them? How we can all be part of that circular economy.
Yeah, how we can all be a part of it, yeah.
Absolutely. One of the things I've noticed that brings me great joy in the supermarket at the moment is that you can buy Singapore-grown salad produce. Absolutely support our local Singaporean economy. And when you're in the supermarket, don't necessarily grab that first lettuce that you see. Check and see where it's made. Are you being a part of a sort of more toxic linear economy by just buying that product from very far away when you could be buying something close by? And in terms of, you know, if you're thinking about your children, buying new is not always the best. And I know, of course, we want the best for our children. Everybody does. But maybe is there a way of getting them clothes, either hand-me-downs or from swap shops where you can go and donate your smaller clothes that your children have grown out of for larger clothes that are, you know, excellent brands and they've only been used for a year because children grow so quickly. So there are things in our daily lives that we can add and do. And one of the other things that is really important is not wasting our food.
Yes.
This is crucial.
Anna, we have to leave it there. How can folks reach out to you if they want to get more information about what you do at Echo Business?
Yeah, wonderful. You can find me at my Eco Business email, which is anna.moore@eco-business.com, or I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter, so you can find me via those channels as well.
Anna, if you don't mind, after we finish the interview, why don't you go ahead and put those in the chat on our Money FM Facebook Live page, okay? And so everyone can find you if they need to. Anna Moore, thank you so much for being with us today, Sustainability Consulting Partnerships Manager at Echo Business, talking about the circular economy, how we can all take part and hopefully make the planet a bit of a better place. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.